the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
So, Donna, what did you say? You had a dream last night. Girl, tell me about the dream.
I did. I dreamt that I was on the show with you, April, and one of the things that you did was you made everybody have a tiara. All the women on your show, you made them have a tiara. So I woke up trying to figure out where the heck I put my tiara, because I do have one. I have one from when I was in high school. I was the Owego Strawberry Festival queen.
Oh, my God. Well, you know what? Because everybody is royalty on the Edge. That's right. That's how they're treated.
Yes.
Hey, okay. Female queens and male queens.
That's right. That's right. Any kind of queens and kings. We're all royalty.
And we are all royalty here on the Edge. Thank you so much for being with me, Donna. You are, the business. Valesi? Is that how you pronounce your last name?
Valise.
Valise. Donna Valise Brains. There she is right here on the Edge. Let me tell you, she is taking LinkedIn by storm. Okay, they love her over there. I've been watching. Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thank you.
Yes, she is definitely the queen of everything over there. So, this woman here is extremely smart. She's an educator. She has a PhD. She's also the founder of Unity Street Band. I want to hear about that. How are they getting down for the underground? And she's got a great coaching program. So we're going to talk to her a lot about education, what parents can do in this environment, because, you know, they may not be homeschooling. Some of the schools have opened up, but the transition, they've been out of school for a year. You know, they don't really grasp it. You know, they have anxiety, social anxiety, and then they got to sit there with the mask on. How do you tell a second grader to keep your mask on when you can barely find a pencil or, you know, behave and not stop talking? So all of this adjustment, you know, she is going to definitely, color in the white space. So help me welcome her to the Edge today, Donna Valesi. Hi, baby.
Hi there.
I should say hi, queen.
Hi, queen, right back.
That's right. Here's to you.
There we go. Look at, I've got my cup right here, ready to go, full of coffee.
That's right. Well, may your cup runneth over with goodness.
Yours as well.
So tell my Brains a little bit about you.
Well, Brains, I have a kind of a long story, but I'll try to keep it short. I grew up in upstate New York. I always wanted to be a teacher. And so I became a teacher. And as I was in the teaching field, I started to realize that my purpose on this earth was a little bit bigger than one classroom at a time. And so I started seeking out other roles. I was a technology coordinator for an entire school district. And then I got into leadership at the state level. I started teaching some courses at the university level. I became a principal and helped open a charter school, and was also principal of a charter school for pregnant and parenting teens. And now I'm a coordinator of educator effectiveness for this in the city here in upstate New York. So that's a little bit about me. Along the way, I did pursue my coaching certificate so that I could coach executives or coach for leadership or coach for do life coaching. And so I have that as well. And I train our coaches, I train our mentors in the district that I work in now. The viewpoint that I come from is that everyone in an organization has leadership potential. And the leader's job, leadership is not positional, but a leader's job is to make sure that they bring out the best in others and help them be leaders as well. So that's where I operate from.
Well, that is from a place of intention. I love how you were, I want to dial back a little bit and talk about you being the principal of an alternative school for young, for young teen. That can really be a challenge because, you know, there's so much stigma around teenage pregnancy, number one. Number two, these young women have the courage to continue their education. You don't understand what the dynamics are at home and what the baby daddy is all about, you know?
Right.
So you had a lot of opportunities there to really change and impact young lives. And I thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you. It was, we used to tell our, we had moms and dads there at our school. And the thing with teenage pregnancy is it's way over 90% likely that they would drop out of high school. So we provided services so that they could make sure they had childcare. We had a very alternative one-to-one computing program where we were an all year round school. So students could complete their diplomas at any point in the year. So if they finished all of their requirements on December 10th, they graduated on December 10th. Wow. If they finished them on April 30th, they graduated on April 30th. So we had the ability to be flexible with their scheduling to make sure they got what they needed to make sure that they had a diploma in their hands once they met all of the standards so that they could have a successful life and support their children. So we were definitely helping people, some of our youngsters be able to be successful in the world.
To travel in that vein of education. Now, like I said, it is topsy-turvy. You know, you've got the executive that has been wearing those red bottoms and that tight pencil skirt, and now she is home with her hair in a bun, sweatpants, trying to teach the new math.
Yes.
Her tiara has been tilted, okay? But give us the parents, number one. Give mm-hmm. the parents some credit, and also maybe some suggestions on just really trying to understand their role and responsibility, because they're not educators. What would be right. one or two tips that you would tell them just so that they can chill out for a minute? Because it's stressful.
I think number one, everybody needs to be able to breathe. Educators are just as stressed as parents. Many of our educators are trying to educate their own children at home while they're educating your children as well. And so everybody just needs to breathe. This is not the first time in history where we've had little bumps and blips along the way with education. It's just the first time in this generation that that's happened. So we will be okay. We will see the end of it. So that's the first thing that I have to say. The second thing is that I think in this past couple generations, we've seen less and less parents, I think, are feeling less and less connected to the school and right. pulled away. And this has really made them see that their role is really critical. And their role is especially critical now because they're trying to support their children and keep them on the right track. And so I think just finding resources and connecting with your child's teachers to see what resources are out there. And you mentioned the new math with, challenges with how math is taught.
I saw my friend's son's math and I'm like, who does that? You know, all these boxes and all of that kind of stuff. I don't know who sat on their dumpster and came up with that, because to me, you know, the quickest route is the quickest route. They don't teach cursive anymore. Spelling is really not an option because they can Google everything. Mm-hmm. Reading is off of this device. So it's a lot. And it's a lot of learning challenges for the little people.
Oh, for sure.
Because they enjoy that. You know, they may complain about going to school, but that is the highlight of their day. And they've got to sit there with mom telling them, shh, shh, be quiet. Don't do this. Sit down. And do your work and get finished and eat your lunch. You know, they are stressed out too. There's a lot of anxiety. The young millennials in high school, there's an uptick with suicide. So what would you suggest for our young people to readjust and to get acclimated to this new normal?
I think one of the things that kids are missing the most right now is that social interaction. Children are social beings. We all really are, but when you're a child, you really need that social interaction because that's what helps you learn. And so I would encourage parents to seek out any opportunity where they can encourage that social interaction, whether it's through group Zoom meetings or find a club, even if you have to do it over Zoom. If there's activities out in your community that are pulling students or children together, to be able to do something together, whether it's making art together or, you know, running the field and doing like low contact activities, anything that you can do to help support that socialization is really critical. Because even if you have a youngster and they're still learning the English language, we know English is not easy. We all struggle. Sometimes I think English language is my first and second language.
You know, and don't ask me about punctuation.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's not my PB&J. Okay. I'm a wordsmith. I have a great vocabulary. I can write a mean poem or a mean story, but girl, don't ask me to edit it.
That's right. I know so many of us are like that. You know, and I think also just thinking about if you have the ability to go places. I mean, you don't have to do anything extravagant. If you could go to a museum with your child, or, you know, go across the city and go to a park and take note of things that are happening in the park. Just something that keeps that interaction even with you as the parent going, and keeps that language going and the mind going. Will all be helpful things.
Me and my little neighbor started collecting bugs.
Oh,
you know that, and we collect the bugs, and then we look at them, and we look at them under a microscope, and then we Google them, have a conversation. That's the science project.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I can make a mean mud pie. But again, it's that interaction is kind of keeping them going. Bring them in the kitchen. Have the math session where you teach them what a half a cup is and two thirds is. Let them sit there and watch you work and see what you go through as a parent day to day. You know, people appreciate that. You could spring up some young entrepreneurs. Now let's talk to the teachers that now have to be injected, because they have underlying conditions, bless their heart. I love you, teachers.
I do too. I love our parents too.
That's right. That's right. But the teachers are there. They not only, you know, it was what, year and a half ago, they were bulletproof shields because they were shooting up the doggone schools. Now they're nurses and, you know, fighting a pandemic. Where does it end? You know, the teachers, like nurses, are quitting the profession. What do you say to them to keep them encouraged?
You know, teaching is truly a calling and a work of heart. I know saying teaching is a work of heart is kind of sounds like a silly thing to say, but so many of our teachers love our children, and they are getting stressed. And so we in the city school district where I work now, we're always battling that, and battling is not really the right word, but we're always trying to find ways to really acknowledge the work that the teachers are doing and finding ways to encourage them to keep going and finding ways to support them. We have wellness committees in our schools that are trying to bring mindfulness activities to teachers. It's such a big, daunting job. Teachers are like the only profession I can think of that is similar to a teacher would be a brain surgeon. Like, you get into a brain because, one, we're shaping the minds of children, and two, a brain surgeon has to be so precise. And if they make one wrong move, it really can shift things for the patient. But with teaching, it's very similar. I mean, it's not quite that precise. There's a little more art to it, but it can be really intense because you're trying to be everything to all of your students. And, you know, so I encourage teachers to also reach out to their administrators and reach out to their districts to see what other resources there are. encourage your administrators and district administration to create partnerships with organizations out there. There are organizations that can help families. And so part of what the stress is with teachers is they carry the weight and the stress of difficult situations that their students are going through. And they carry that emotional weight with them. It doesn't leave them. They go home thinking about that. They go home dreaming about it.
You're talking about, okay, Brains, and I know that you guys already know this, but there could be domestic violence in the home. Some of these children go to school just to get a decent meal. The mm-hmm. teachers don't have the resources financial, but now we've got some new people in the, you know, in the people's house. I refuse to call it the White House, but in the people's house that are going to be, you know, educators that know mm-hmm. how to read and know how to make correct punctuation and all that kind of stuff. But they are going to be funneling in some of the support for that because the resources, look at how many kids didn't even have access, much less to the internet, much less have a mm-hmm. So all of these corporations have really stepped up and really donated a lot of things for that. You have children mm-hmm. that have learning disabilities, you know, ADHD or, you know, ABC, whatever the situation may be. There's challenges there. Their parents mm-hmm. don't know how to do and deal with that. My niece works with autistic children, and she was saying what a challenge it is for special needs families. So there is a whole caveat, you know, there's a whole menu yeah. of services and challenges that our families are going through. I want these teachers also to be able to have a support system, like they said, peer to peer, you know, mm-hmm. just sit down and have a chat, coffee chat, and bounce ideas off of one another, because we need you, we love you, and we value you. So now we've talked to the parents, we've talked to the students, we've talked to the teachers. Let's play some music. Let me hear about the street band you got. Tell us about that.
Well, Unity Street Band, we are now a nonprofit organization. Our mission is to put joy back into the community to put unity back in the community through the joy of music. So street activist street bands, there is a whole community of them across the world and across even our country, the United States. And we gather together at honk festivals. So you can Google Brains, use that Google tool.
Look at you. Oh, I didn't know that you played the flute too.
I do. I play flute and piccolo. So in the street band, I play piccolo. And so our group, we will play at community events. And we've been invited to play at someone's like birthday party who was a big community member. We'll play in parades. We'll put on shows, and sometimes we just want to play. So we'll go find one of our parks, our local parks in Syracuse, and we'll play right in the park. And people walking by are always, it's always an unexpected joy to see a band playing. We even during the summer months, well, we can't today because it's snowing, but during the warm months, we actually hold our rehearsal outdoors at a park. And the idea of breaking the barrier between an audience and a band is incredible. You can get in people's faces, you can get them to interact, you can get them to dance, you can hand them a tambourine, and they can participate with us. And people don't, most of America doesn't play an instrument. So even watching the process of, oh, you're not always perfect all the time. There's a process behind learning. One of the great things that we do with Unity Street Band, we have beginners. We have a 12-year-old who plays with us. We have someone who wanted to play a saxophone. He's in his 60s or 70s. He bought a saxophone. He took lessons. He had never played before. So we have people who are beginners all the way up through people who are professionals. And then people like me who put their instrument away for way too long and wanted to take it back out. And so we have the ability to help people learn their instrument, but also push our professional musicians to rethink how we could do things and rethink how the arrangement of something is, or if somebody has an idea of, I wish we could do this over the top. We look at our professional musicians and we say, how do we do that?
Right.
So it's a great organization that
and music allows is a great growth. Equalizer.
Yes. You know, it always
you
is.
Stop what you are doing to recant where you were at this particular time when you heard this love song, or, you know, what was the style of the 70s? What were you wearing at that particular time? Or, you know, the feeling that you get when you hear a real, you know, real cool jazz song or blues. So do you play all genres of music?
We do some Latin music. We do a lot of New Orleans styled music. And I even several years ago learned how to improvise on the piccolo. I'm trying to get better, but I never thought I could do that. So pushing my own boundaries has been really great. You know, we do some pop tunes, we do some mashups of things. We really just try to play some things that people will move to. It'll touch them in some way and connect people. One of the most powerful stories I had while being in a street band?
Yes, please.
All right. So years ago, I was living out in Connecticut and working in Providence, Rhode Island, and I was with a group called Extraordinary Rendition Band. And we went to one of the honk festivals down in Austin. And one of the first places that we played was outside of a homeless shelter. And when we arrived there, we were taking our instruments out of the cases. And people were lined up outside of the shelter. Fights were breaking out. They were screaming at each other. We had someone come up and start getting right in our faces, yelling at us, I thought you were supposed to play for us. When are you going to play for us? And it was a little unnerving. So we continued gathering our stuff up together. We crossed the street and we started to play, and they kind of tucked us into this corner where we couldn't really get out. And so these people surrounded us. And all of a sudden, as we're playing, I realized, there's no more fighting. Oh my goodness. Look at that. There's a couple cameras coming out. Oh, I see somebody smiling. Oh, those two people are dancing together. Oh, now they're all dancing together and they're like enjoying themselves. And the police officers who were breaking up the fights were able to lean up against a pole and take a deep breath and sigh of relief. So the fact that music has the power to totally transform an entire feeling of an entire group or a situation and transform it into something so positive had the most powerful impact on me. And so no matter where I go, if there is not a street band for me to join, I will start one, because we need more of this in our world. There are enough people out there who play, who put their instrument in the attic and really should just get brought back out. Take your instruments out, play them, find a group, because, or start your own band, because music is powerful. Lessons.
And I started taking guitar lessons and I kind of fell off a minute, but again, I'm going to take your encouragement. I'm going to pick her up today and I'm going to get down, because it was really good. It was really good. And my teacher was really proud of me too, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but reading music and keeping the time and trying to sing, it's not for chumps.
Yeah, no. Hey, brains, we got to check up on April Mahoney in a few months and see how far she's come.
Hey, all right, now she done put me to the test, okay?
You got it.
Now, you have created and concocted a recipe for success. You work with teachers, you work with parents, you work with students, and you bring it all together with music. But what you've done is you've mixed it in a bowl, and now you are a coach. Tell us a little bit about your coaching program and what you're pouring into people on a deeper level.
So through all of this, you're starting organizations and leading organizations and being a leader in so many different situations for in education. What I have come to realize is that a leader can make or break an organization, and a leader can make or break a person based on what they do. And so I've really taken a lot of time to study and try to understand how to best lead and develop people. I consider myself a human developer. I've kind of given myself that terminology. And so I've developed two things. One, I do some leadership coaching. I've had some opportunities to coach people both inside and outside of education. Some of that coaching has been in turnaround work where they're trying to get a school or an organization turned around. In others, it's startup. And in others, it's we've got an organization that is just solid and we're kind of stuck. We're not sure how to move forward and make what we do even greater. And so that's where I come in. And so I have two things. One is being launched this week. It's a free quiz. It's called How Empowering Is Your Leadership?
Wow.
Right. And so leadership is really about empowering others to take ownership of everything that they do and see how it's connected to the greater good. And so I've developed a transformative leadership continuum. Transformative leadership is really a set of skills that really helps inspire and empower the people that you're leading. And so in that continuum, when you take this free quiz, you will be one of four things. You will either be a rookie, which really means perhaps you are just starting out in leadership and you really haven't had much training, or you're in a leadership position, but nobody's ever really given you training. Mm. And so you still have some growth to make. And that's not a bad thing, because you don't get in a leadership position by doing nothing. You get right. in a leadership position because you're good at your work.
Right.
And so my role is, how do I help take a leader and make them an incredible leader? Mm-hmm. And so rookie is number one. Producer is number two. And producer is really someone who is managing things, just making sure things happen the way they're supposed to happen. Not bad. There are managers in the world. We need managers in the world. But if you want to take that to the next level and be a little bit more transformative, the next two are pathfinder and revolutionary. If you're a pathfinder, you're able to lead a team and facilitate collaboration like nobody's business. And collaboration is really where people are all on board, and your role, you might be adding to the conversations, and all your team members are, but you're making sure that everyone has a piece in the pie. And when you're a revolutionary, you're able to kind of, that is the most transformative work. And that is where you have done the planning on the back end. You're facilitating all of the work, but your team has been taking leadership of all of the work, with you just kind of facilitating where they're going. And that allows you as the leader to have more time to do the visionary work to figure out where your organization needs to go. And so those are the outcomes of the quiz. Once you take the quiz, I offer a free consultation so you can dig deeper and understand your results better. And I also provide a free goal tracker that you can use with anyone in your organization or all of your organization.
I want to tap into really quickly into a couple of things that you said. So I was trying to assess where I was in this process, and I'm a producer, you know, mm-hmm. I'm a producer. I'm a little bit of a revolutionary too, but I like the input of other people. Mm-hmm. I really like that. And one of my mentors told me something I will never forget about leadership. He says, April, I want you to be a bridge that carries other people safely across.
Yes.
And brains, you can't be a leader if you've never been a good follower.
Right.
Okay, because there has been people that have come before you and will surpass you. They'll think we're on the same page. Some of y'all are not even reading the same book.
Yeah.
I'm just keeping it 100. And everybody is not a coach. You know, some people are still trainees. So you have to get in where you fit in. And be authentic with that. It's okay to continuously learn. It's okay to be a part of a team. You don't necessarily have to lead. But what I'm hearing Donna say anyway, is that you can lead right from the position where you are. You don't have to be the CEO. You don't have to be the chair of the PTA to really be a strong leader. You can be effective in your community. You can be effective in your small circle. You can be an influencer. You can be a change agent. You can be a producer. Am I correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 110%. I believe every person can lead, and you might lead differently in different organizations you're involved in. Right. There might be one organization you might not be super comfortable leading, but you're willing to be an active participant. That is still a type of leadership.
That's right.
Some people like to lead from behind. They don't want to be seen. So when you think of all the people, if you think of the theater, all those people who are making all the things in the background happen, but you never see their faces.
Right.
They're still leading in some way. They're making things happen. And every single person has the ability to change a life and change the world.
I love to say that support is not a one-legged stool.
Yeah. And if you ever need help being a change agent, I'll be your number one fan. Okay. You just give me a call.
You are always my number one fan. So tell my brains really how to get in contact with you, Donna. I'd love for them to do a little deep dive. Go in, brains, and take the assessment, take the quiz. It costs you nothing, but it can afford you everything. Because a lot of times people don't even know who you are. You don't know what you don't know. Yeah. And in these tenuous times, this might be an opportunity for you to springboard and go into a totally different direction. You know, if you were a teacher, maybe you want to go into administration. If you're a parent, maybe you want to be more of a classroom parent. You know, maybe you want to learn how to play the piccolo.
There we go. I can help you with that one too.
Exactly. So tell my brains how to get in contact with you, wonderful.
Well, there are a few different ways. I'm on LinkedIn. If you just search for Donna Valise on LinkedIn, I'm there. I'm also on Facebook. You can find me at Donna Valise, or you can also find me at Inspiring Leaders, INC. And if you want to go directly to the assessment and try out the assessment, it's www.inspiringleadersinc.com. And if you want to go right to the quiz, you just add the backslash and type quiz. And it'll take you right there. One other thing that I am really looking forward to is at the end of March, I am going to be launching a 6-week transformative leadership bootcamp for people where we will meet together once a week. And I will take you through a whole series of what it really takes to get the whole picture of how to develop your transformative leadership skills. It starts, there's three I's. If we can remember, the three I's is imagine, invest, and iterate. And that would be the process I would take you through. You will imagine what it is that you want your organization to be able to do, what you want your people to be able to do, and take it, assess every nook and cranny of how things are operating so that you can get that vision across and make plans for it. Invest. If you don't invest in your people, they will not invest in your organization. And so I talk through how you give feedback on a regular basis. What are the keys to giving feedback? What are the keys to being able to coach your people so that they take ownership of the work that they're doing? Because just telling them what they've got to do is not enough. You have to be able to coach them and provide feedback. And so I go through the process of how you do that. And then the third piece is iterate. And iterate is really about how do I identify the data that I need to know where my organization stands and how well we're doing? And how do I use that to set goals? How do I use that with the people who are working for my organization and have them set goals as well and have them buy in? And this whole process is cyclical. And so in that 6-week bootcamp, you'll have opportunities to learn pieces, but also there'll be homework assignments where you actually take things back to your organization and you try some things out and you bring them back and you share with the group so that you can get feedback from people of other organizations who are doing the same type of work.
Right.
So it's designed to be a really powerful boot camp. I'm really looking forward to it. But if you want to find more information, again, I'm on Facebook, I'm on LinkedIn, and I have that website, Inspiring Leaders Incorporated.
I'm going to put all of your information and all your links there. We're going to share that because all of this is the fourth eye, impact. Okay. Everyone wants to be an influencer. Everybody wants to be an influencer. But if you are just meeting on the meeting to see what we're meeting about, you are not doing anything but being annoying another eye. So here we go. Thank you for being here on the edge with me, Donna. I appreciate you. I value you. Dr. Donna, okay, I'm going to give you all your props because you deserve that. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Keep us informed. Keep fighting the good fight. You know, the kids, the families, and, you know, people at large are really worth the investment. And I'm glad that you are a broker for humankind.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on here. And thank you, Brains, for listening. If you ever need, want to get in contact, just even to have a conversation. I'm your girl.
All right. Be well, Brains, okay? And know that you are the thinker of your thoughts. We want to be leaders that are going to carry other people safely across on the edge.
Thank you.
Bye, Brains.